Welcome to MSP 1337. I'm your host, Chris Johnson, a show dedicated to cybersecurity challenges, solutions, a journey together, not alone. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of MSP 1337. I'm joined this week with, I am joined this week by Charles Love with ShowTech Solutions. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate being here.
So a couple weeks ago, I had Ted White on MSP, a recruiter for MSPs. And I had, you know, talked to you on multiple occasions about your experience with using a recruiter to find employees. I've talked to techs who have gone through recruiting processes and have had, you know, mixed experiences, largely because I think the recruiter process was not dedicated to the MSP space. I won't name the particular recruiter that comes to mind, but it's one that we are all too familiar with over the last 30, 40 years, probably at some point in time, Charles, even you, and I know I have at one point in time used that recruiting service, and you were just wowed with the way they kind of coaxed you into saying, like, and we've just got all these opportunities lined up for you, and you're like, awesome, I'll have a job like tomorrow or really never. So obviously the space has changed, you know, with all the layoffs we've seen happening over the last 90 days, 6 months. We also know that the talent pool is bigger than what we normally see as far as looking for candidates to at least for certain positions. So I'm just going to regurgitate a couple of things that Ted said on the call we had a couple weeks ago. One was the amount of time an MSP spends looking for a candidate. And he kind of pointed out, like, on average, somewhere between 10 and 15% of your time is dedicated on a weekly basis, conservatively saying for, you know, 10 to 12 weeks, sometimes longer. And a lot of it's tied to the number of candidates or resumes that are suddenly wanting to come work for fill in the blank organization, and work experience ranges from, you know, spent the last 3 weeks as a barista at some coffee shop, and I'm perfect for this position, to, you know, they have way more experience than what you're looking for, and they're not even remotely in that category. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. And that may even be on the low side as far as conservative. Yeah. I mean, so in the past, when we've had to do some type of recruiting, it's like going to the dentist, right? You just don't want to do it. because you just know what's about to happen.
Right.
You're going to get locked into things. You're going to get on these calls. People are never going to show there, or they show and they don't know how to operate a camera. And it's like, oh my God, this is insanity. And right. You just like waste.
They're failing already.
Yeah. So one of my kind of jokes is the first test is, can you get past the Teams boss? And if you can get past the Teams boss, which people awesome. Struggle with.
Yeah.
And we're technical and we sell Microsoft, so we're going to use Teams, right? But you know, you think about it in the frame of my day, right? So if I'm going to interview somebody, before that call, I need to spend 10, 15 minutes again checking that resume. And now, because I do everything with a booking link, I am now locked a 2-hour window because I have buffers before and after every appointment. So to book somebody just to be like, hey, I saw your resume, can you read it to me? It's going to lock 2 hours of my day. And then for that person to not show or get frustrated and give up because they can't figure out Teams or they totally forgot about the meeting, it's a super production killer. That's why I think 10 to 15% is way low. I think it's far higher.
So we're, I think... And obviously, I may have to do some updates, but the conversation that I had was really more about like the specific intentional time, not actually talking about maybe potentially to your point, the productivity loss.
But it all counts.
Yeah. No, like, and this is kind of true when we talk about like how long should someone spend on like an administrative task, making them in a non-billable state, right? Like, I get that you're struggling with this, but maybe we should have somebody else take that on for you so that you can go back doing the things that make us money.
Yeah, and so let me kind of paint a picture here.
Yeah.
Prior to this year, I pretty much have hired everybody on the technical team here at Showtech. So I know what's involved, finding the people, checking references, doing all the things, asking all the questions, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's a giant time suck. So what happens is when we really need people, I just focus on work and I don't get the people. Right, because I know it's a nightmare that I'm going to deal with.
Right.
This year, we made the decision to work with a recruiter, and so we tried it on the sales team first, just to make sure it was good, and then we
For the role of sales, someone in that role.
correct, yeah,
Sure.
to hire a new like a appointment setter.
Okay.
We leveraged a recruiter. And I was like, oh, damn, that was easy. Like, from the point of being introduced to the person to the point where they're butt in seat here in the office, I didn't have to do a whole lot. So I was like, well, that was kind of cool. Let's see if we could do it again. But this time, let's do it with the technical resource. So I'll give you some kind of things that I learned along the way. When you work with anybody to help find talent for you have to give them the whole story,
Right.
right? Like, you kind of have to treat the recruiter as a potential interviewee because they don't know what questions to ask, right? Ask. They don't know
Right.
what questions to ask, right? And we're fortunate enough to work with somebody who literally used to work in an MSP,
Yeah.
so she kind of gets it. And I'm not talking somebody who worked at an MSP 30 years ago,
Right.
like recent worked as an MSP. And I just walked her through all my crazy questions. You know my questions, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because we've worked together, and like, I had to explain to her the four walls. Tell me the four walls story. And which means, like, a customer moves into a new building, what do they need for their four walls, right? So I explained her that. I tell her about background checks. And then I said, you know what? And then I want you to ask them how crop circles are made. She's like, what? And I go, yeah, how crop circles are made. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they laugh. I don't care if they're serious. But that's the world we live in,
Right.
where our techs get asked really random, weird stuff. And I want to see how they act. I'm not asking if crop circles are real, but we're going to get two types of answers. Well, three. I refuse to answer the question, or, well, they probably use plywood, or the spaceship lands, right? Those are
I
going to
mean,
be.
or they could honestly say, I don't know. And I, or like, I'd have to get back to you on that one. That's a new question for me. Like, there's really not a right answer, but there's definitely a wrong answer.
No, but I want to hear how you answer it,
Right.
right? So when the person goes, well, I don't know. I was like, all right, so let's just pretend we're making fake crop circles. Let's just pretend that. How would you go about doing that?
There you
Because
go.
I want to hear how they're thinking. Or they're going to say the spaceship lands, right? And that's not a problem, but
Sometimes that's the answer when you Google.
yeah. So you just want to see, because customers just hit you with weird stuff, right?
Yeah.
So the key here is, if you're going to work with a recruiter, you have to explain your style.
Right.
You have to walk them through kind of like your sales funnel for an employee. How do they look on the camera? Not that looks matter, because I'm Miss Universe, but
You can never say
do
that.
they yeah, but do they know how, like, do they know how to frame themselves in their camera?
Sure.
Right? That kind of stuff. Like, can they operate? Are they driving while on video?
Oh,
Right?
that's
Just
my favorite
little.
one.
I yell people all the
So
time
I
on
have a
that one.
couple questions before we go deeper into this. So a couple things that come to mind for me, and remembering back to when we worked together, there are so many things that have to happen that I know what I know now, I would not have done it the way I did. So like nothing against using services like OnForce, because that was a big deal for us when we were building, Untangled. And I remember when we decided to hire somebody full time that had been vetted through a third party, when we ran them through the ADT process or Paychex, I can't remember which one it was, came back like, you can't hire this person. They're on a student visa, not a work visa. And it exposed a whole bunch of risk and liability. So that was one. And then the other one that comes to mind is it's kind of what you started talking about, and that is the culture piece, I think, like you're kind of hinting at, where, understanding how our organization operates, how I, as Miss Universe, operate here at Showtech, like the expectations, what does it look like when I have, do I wear a collar shirt? Can I get past the team's boss? All of those things, right? And that got me thinking. I just attended this PAX 8 Momentum, and the one of those speakers was talking about cybersecurity. And well, he was talking about your culture as an organization. One of the things he brought up was that, your vision and your core values. He's like, cybersecurity should be part of that discussion. Not saying that it should be one of those things, but like, how does it fit in? And so it's like, that makes me think, like, okay, so when you're talking to a recruiter, what are the things that you then would share? Like, hey, not just our culture as far as like the way we act and behave, but like there's like these underlying, are they even things that you can ask from a question standpoint in advance, or is this getting into more of the interview process?
Well, and that's where working with the recruiter, you kind of have to treat them like HR, right? And they know what they can and can't say, right? But the good ones like ours, I get two pieces of paper prior to every interview. And she does it right. Like she puts it on the appointment for me. She gives me a 15-minute ready buffer. She calls me before the meeting just to make sure we're good. And then I basically get, like, what is it, a CIA dossier on somebody?
You
I
get the
get,
confidential, top secret, manila
yeah,
folder.
I get one document that is their interpretation of all the things, the crop circle question, the can they drive, are they legally allowed to be here, the all that kind of stuff. And their opinion, like, hey, when I asked how to set up a firewall, they said this, right? Because I ask, I'm not going to give you all my questions, but there's about five or six things I want to know prior to somebody, and the recruiter is the person who is like kind of pre-vetting everybody.
It's a filter.
So to get, yeah, so to get this new employee we have, I think she interviewed, she said something along the lines of 100 people,
Holy moly.
and I was presented with four, and those were the top four, and she gave me kind of a rating on the four, and then I did my interviews, and now I don't have to get the who is Showtech story. I don't have to walk them through what we do because that has all been done by somebody else.
Again, going back
And
to time is valuable, and regardless of what
yes.
role they're going to be in, the things that would come out as cybersecurity questions or how you behave in situations like, building crop circles, now you actually have an understanding of how they would operate in theory at a very high level on things that might be scary, because they at least have some creative and analytical thinking. They're not just like, yeah, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah, and all of the nonsense, like you said, time is money, but all the nonsense is already done prior to me speaking to the person. So we can just get right into it, right? So my first question is, hey, before we get started, I know you spoke with, whoever. Do you have any questions before before we begin? Because I want to make sure your questions are answered and I have a couple of questions, and just kind of walk them through the thing. And I find it just, we don't have to have an hour long meeting, right? It's
What is an average
20
week?
minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about 20, 30. Really depends on the person, depends on the questions they have. But it's really nice when you have somebody doing all the heavy lifting and you just get to be the guy that, or gal, just to kind of make a decision, right? And I'll tell you in the beginning, I'm like, this is nuts because obviously there's a fee, right? Why should we pay the fee? I could do this myself. And I'm like, oh, wait, I don't have time to do it myself. So let's pay the fee. And that's what we did. And it's it's really working out well for us.
So I just threw this into ChatGPT, like, what questions should I, as an interviewee, should I ask, Charles Love in my interview? And the question that I thought was interesting is the first thing it asks about is about the role, describing the typical day for the position. What types of, like, did you get your questions from ChatGPT too? Or like, but I just thought, like, what are the biggest challenges someone in this position would face?
Yeah, and I have in this last round, I was asked that exact question, right? Like,
Okay.
from the time I walk through the door, tell me what my day looks like. And
Right.
I would much rather really set the stage that
Right.
way on my first call with the person to explain how I envision their day going
Right.
than let me tell you about our benefits. Who cares, right?
Right. If it's not a
Nobody
comfortable,
remembers.
yeah, this isn't like walking into a box store where your job is to just run things across the conveyor belt and benefits are the only thing that really matters because you're going to do the same thing every day for the foreseeable future unless you leave to go do something else.
Yeah, and it's for the larger MSPs who have an HR person who does all the vetting and all that stuff, they're all nodding, going, yeah, this is what we do anyway. But we're only 12 people now. We don't have somebody pre-vetting. That's why we smart source somebody to do that
Sure.
for us.
So what does that look like in the context of, you're building essentially a program to enhance and support the culture of Showtech, which when I talk about cybersecurity, I believe that one of the most important things to be successful with cybersecurity as part of, services offered, solutions implemented, revolves truly around culture, the vision, the core values, all of those pieces. Does that, to some degree, when you're talking to a candidate, is that more important than talking about their skill level from a technical standpoint? Like, how do you balance those two things?
Depends on the role, right? It really depends on the role. So if we're interviewing like a super senior, rock star tech, my questions are going to be very different than if I'm interviewing a
Level
generic
one.
tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, level one, level two, like can jack of all trades or Jane of
Right.
all trades, right?
Have a screwdriver.
Yeah, like I'm more conversational. Like, hey, tell me what you screwed up in the last 2 years. Give me one thing that you'd be terrified if I find out you did.
Right.
And then I want to see, because like I know my story, right? I put too big of a screw in a hard drive and I fried the hard drive, right?
Nice.
So
Decommissioned the hard drive is what you did.
But there's always like, what did you learn from? And when the interviewee is like, well, no, I'm fine, everything is great. And that's a flag to me because not
Right.
everything is great. There's a reason we're having a conversation. And I start talking about that one Disney movie. I think it's called Meet the Robinsons. I've told you
Yeah.
about this before, where they celebrate failures,
Yeah.
right? And they celebrate failures because that's the only way you can grow.
Right.
And I want to hear from these candidates what they botched and how they recovered. And oh my God, I think in 2000, I put the too long of a screw. Remember back in the day, there were two sizes of those hard
Yeah, the
drive
ones
screws,
that
the
went
big ones
into
and
the
the small
side and the
ones.
one into the bottom, and they were the same diameter, but not the same length.
Yeah, so the one that back then with the spinny disks, this if you used the wrong screw, it would touch the motherboard and fry out the motherboard.
Yep.
So here we are. This happened in 2000, right? We're 24 years into it. And every time I install a hard drive to this day, I still hold the screw up to the hard drive to make sure it's not going to touch the thing. But
You
just,
learn.
24 years later, I still have the habit. But that's something because I grounded some dude's hard drive way
Yeah.
back when. We had backups, but still, it's a pain in the butt. Hard drives weren't $100 back then.
No,
Let's just put it
they
that
were
way.
like, and that was the early days of fries, and so even then it was still like, unless you got the bargain bin, they were
Yeah.
pricey.
This is Seagate, big spinny IDE cable,
Oh yeah, like two gigs, 4 gigs.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe if it was that
But
old.
But like that's the stuff I want to hear. Like, hey, I want to hear how you recovered, because if I can get you telling stories during an interview,
Sure.
I can really understand your frame of mind.
Right.
Is it going to be a everything is good? Like, are you a robot? Because that's what
Right.
I'm trying to like. I
I
want to
might have a
hear like.
role for you, but it's not going to be the one that we're talking about right now.
Yeah. So my interview style is a little bit different, right? So what we'll do is so just to kind of go back to the recruiter thing, she'll prep me, we'll have the call, and then I stay on with the recruiter and we talk about it right then, right there. This way it's in
Oh,
my
I
brain.
didn't ask that question. So you're saying that the recruiter is on for the interview?
Yes, she typically will camera up in the beginning and then say, all right, I'm going to turn you over to Charles. Charles is director,
That's
blah, blah, blah.
awesome.
And then she goes quiet. So now I have kind of a secret person in the room. It's not really secret. You can see her picture in the
Yeah.
Teams meeting.
Yeah.
But and then right after, because let's face it, if you and I have a phone call and I go, hey, I'll call you tomorrow and let's talk about our call, you and I are never calling each other.
Or
And
we're never
then
remembering the conversation.
three days later, we're like, what did we do?
So,
So
a question
yeah.
on that. So you have that interview, you have the conversation with the recruiter. Let's say you're moving forward. Is that moving forward with an in-person interview then? Or how does that typically look? I mean, I realize you can hire people anywhere in the world, but in your case, I assume you're looking for, especially for certain roles, you're looking for them to be in the office.
For the most part, if it is going to be an in-office role, to me, it's really important that they come see the team.
Yep.
It's not a dictatorship. So if I want to hire somebody, we definitely will do a culture interview and
Gotta
just bring them
fit.
in, and then I won't even be in the room.
Gotcha.
So like I'll kind of start it, and I'll get like the guys or whoever, the girls, whoever's in the office, and then they'll just shoot the crap with the person,
Yeah.
like talk about cars or Warcraft or whatever it may be. Obviously talk about work and how it is, things like that. But when they're done, they get walked downstairs and I just, I quickly sit with whoever was in the interview and be like, hey, what do you think?
Yeah.
And like we've had people say, oh, I don't know, like, and here's why I don't know. Or,
Yeah.
oh, he's cool, he's gonna fit in, he's, too bad he's Alliance, he's not Horde, stuff like that.
Right.
But it also lets the team know that they're a part of the decision, right?
Right.
There
Well, they
have
have to work with
total
them. You're either
yes.
losing your team or you're not hiring a person. That's usually what I, not that I did this before, but in my observations today, I would go, I'd rather not hire somebody if it's going to cause conflict with the team than hire the best engineer in the world.
Yeah, and it just you get a lot out of it when you, the person who's the decision maker, gets to lead. Sometimes I'll go into the studio next door and just kind of be available, and I'll walk by the room, but sometimes I'll just leave. It kind of depends on the role,
Sure.
just so that I can hear.
Yeah.
And then so once the techs meet with me, then you can bet my recruiter's on the phone with me. How did it go? Right? And then I brain dump with her. She calls the candidate, and then we decide if we're going to make an offer. So, like, because it's been done to me, I don't do this. Let's string somebody along for 6 weeks. We're just going to tell you right away. Like, if you're not a fit, you're going to be told you're not a fit. This way,
Right.
you don't have to sit here and be like, oh man, I'm going to be working at so and so.
Do you paint the picture of like where Showtech is going? Like, hey, our roadmap for the next 2 to 3 years, these are some of our goals. Do you see yourself being a part of that? Like, more than just like tunnel vision in the job role, but like, does it go back to depends on the role?
For the most part, we're pretty clear that this is a rocket ship
Mm-hmm.
that has been ignited, and we're still figuring out trajectory,
Right.
in
What's
most
the
cases.
angle of the rocket today?
Yeah. And some days you're gonna have amazing days, and sometimes you're
Yeah.
gonna have not so amazing days. So as long as the amazing days outweigh the not so, I
Yeah.
think we're doing pretty good. But I try to be as real as possible, because if we're going to bring you in and we're going to train you and all that stuff, will I have to take help desk calls? Yes, you will. I don't care who you are. The
Right.
owner takes help desk calls. right? Nobody's above that.
So sometimes it's just about being the voice on the other end of the phone, right?
Yeah, so we try to be as transparent as like to a fault,
Sure.
where we've had people like, yeah, I don't know, this I don't want a rocket ship, I want to be in a rowboat. All right, cool. This
Really?
may not be for you.
I mean, I guess to some degree we see a lot of things. It was when I was talking to Ted about recruitment process, and we were talking about like certain generational gaps that have things like, got the job offer and, showed up on day one and then didn't ever come back because they took another job offer after taking the one that had them butts in seat the first day.
So let's talk about that, because that's absolutely happened. Somebody has gone to lunch in my past experience and has never come back. So it's nice about the recruiter. We have a warranty. We have a warranty period of 90
Nice.
days.
Nice.
So in the event within the first 90 days, there's a misfire either on either side, I just go back to the recruiter and I'm like, hey, something didn't work out. But chances are she's gonna know, because the person I work with keeps tabs with the hires like every week or so. So she's called,
Okay.
hey, how's it going? And then, just to kind of make sure
How long
everybody's
does she do
good.
that for?
I don't know. I'm assuming a couple weeks. I'm
Gotcha.
guessing up until the 90-day, the warranty window. Because then she'll find, and that actually happened, where we had to restart the process again.
Gotcha.
And
And that's got to
she
be
already knew what to do.
discouraging. I realize it discourages a recruiter. That's what their job is. I mean, so anytime there's a failure, it's always like, I failed. But like for you, like if you've gotten to the point where they're coming into the office, you're already, looking at them as part of your team. Like it's
Correct.
not like you wait 90 days to go, well, before we sh pull back the curtains, they can really see where we get our coffee and who's responsible for taking the trash out. You do it right out of the gate, right? Like it's you're not waiting for them to, be comfortable for before they get to know Charles Love, what Charles Love style.
For sure. And it's really a partnership, or you can't look at them as a vendor,
Right.
to the point where like our recruiter will literally text the person that they have like the day before the work and say, hey, here's where you're supposed to park. She has me actually go take a photo of the parking spot, and
Nice.
she'll go as far as texting the employee, park here, go to the third floor at 8:45. Ask for Charles, bring him donuts. He likes donuts. I'm just kidding. I do like donuts. She doesn't tell them
Like
that.
duck donuts.
But so she's very much a part of our team. And checks in with me every few weeks, checks in with the Carrie, the president, every few weeks. So
I guess that gives her the
he
opportunity to plan for future expansion for you too.
yes. Yeah,
Got it.
and I've already reached out, and then we're like, all right, we're getting ready to prep a new one. Let's start in a couple of weeks. Let's start up that engine again.
Right.
But
Don't
chances
hire
are,
when you're urgently needing the employee. Hire when they,
yes.
yeah. So like it's not a knee-jerk reaction to get them in the office, right?
Yeah, and she has like a bank of people, right? Because if you remember when she presented, let's say I told you she presented those four people,
Yeah.
I may have been waffling between two of the four. So chances are, when it comes to, all right, I'm ready for that next person, she can always reach back to number two and be like, hey, there's another opportunity. Would you like to just have one more quick call? Because maybe I don't have to go through the whole shebang. Maybe
Right.
I could just jump and do that.
So I want to go back before we wrap this up to the story. A time that you messed up, had to take ownership of it. I liked yours, the screw in the hard drive. I think everybody's been there at some point. I remember I had a really good one that I won't share on this call because they'll know immediately if they ever listen to this. But I had one. This was probably 2004. I was walking down the hallway to put a new NIC card into one of our servers. And when I touched the door to go into the server room, the blue spark arced. And that $1,000 NIC card was no good. But I think we all have hardware stories if we go back a ways. Have you had any doozies that were like in the technical space, but like maybe software driven, accidentally used the wrong global for 365 or something that you're like, wow, I mean, that would have taken a lot for me to admit that quickly to someone I don't know.
This last couple of batches, I haven't heard any amazing doozies. I've heard about people deleting stuff,
Par
breaking a
for the course.
laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah, just nothing like earth shattering. Like, yeah, I called Microsoft and I gave them my password. Nothing like that.
Right. Because I had the pop-up on my screen that let me know
Yeah.
that I needed to make that phone call. Yeah.
Exactly.
I
It's
wasn't toll free.
usually, yeah, it's usually somebody who says, yeah, I got screamed at by XYZ and we had to call the sheriff. So I know now I'm not supposed to, do, it's normally something like that.
Sure. They're all, at the end of the day, they're sharing an uncomfortable situation, even if it's not the doozy. I mean, you remember the story of, if I said the words, you might know exactly the story I'm talking about, because I think you were with Untangled when it happened. It involved deleting a policy for a bunch of mailboxes.
I believe I heard about that,
And then in
yes.
turn, it deleted all of the accounts. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. That was the most clicking with a mouse that I had to do in a very short period of time. I think it ended up being 1,175 clicks because I counted them.
Ah, jeez.
Well, Charles, anything else that we should share with regards to this recruiter process that I think, if you're a solution provider listening to this is, I mean, why would you not use a recruiter knowing how much work you would spend otherwise to potentially not even get anywhere close to the right candidate?
Well, get out of your own head, right? I
Sure.
had to get out of my own head because recruiters typically will take a percentage of the salary. And at the surface, you're like, that is a ton of money, right? But then you realize, well, what is my time worth? All right,
Right.
let's calculate it. So if I'm going to spend 100 hours and I can be billing out at $200, $300 an hour, it's probably cheaper to have somebody else do this, right? Which is funny because that's why we're MSPs,
Right.
because it's cheaper for the customer to pay us than to pay somebody else.
Right. You're
So,
kind of talking about a little bit like it's almost like a hiring tax. Like you're saying, I'm giving up
yeah.
all of this burden of responsibility to get somebody through the door that's remotely qualified for what's next. So you can literally, I mean, the reality of this is because you know the cost up front, percentage wise, this is something that you can quite honestly bake into every service offering that you have and ensure that it's never part of the just part of the overhead.
Well, and my wife knows when I'm in interview mode, I'm like a crazy person, right? Because I have folders and pads and pen, no, I all this stuff. I got to go home a couple weeks ago and be like, hey, just so you know, we hired somebody. She's like, what happened to the crazy folders? Like this is like I had to explain, yeah, we have a service now and
I outsourced the crazy folders.
yeah, and I did, and it's great, and the two employees that are in our building are amazing, and
I
I'm
have no
so
idea what kind
happy.
of file you have on them.
Yeah, and I didn't have to do anything, which was
Right.
awesome.
So, that process, just curious, like, can you tell me a little bit about the crazy? Because I think it's important, because I'm guessing that most people that listen to this also have some sort of crazy when it comes to hiring.
Well, I'm sure. So, like, I would have what I would do is I would print out my resume prior to a call. And
Sure.
then I would do my best to take notes, of which 80% I had no idea what the hell I wrote on the screen,
Oh, of course.
on my
It
pad.
was
So I'm
like
sitting here.
aggressive doodling.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I circle certain words, I cross out other words. Like when they
Right.
say they're Azure guys, and it turns out they're not, I cross out Azure, stuff like that.
I worked on an Azure project. So you're an Azure tech. Well, no, I was on the team of eight and I answered the phone.
Or, they get on the video call and they call it Azure.
And then
Yeah,
you
I
walk
work on
around.
Azure. I'm like,
SQL,
yep,
please.
okay. Yeah, Squeal. I work on Squeal server. Do you now?
Wink, wink.
Just yeah, just little things like that. So all that goes in my paper, which you could lose,
Right.
right?
And then the wrong hands, it
So
could probably be also not great.
or the Potential employee finds the paper later. Hey, you missing this? Or I wrote the guy's a knucklehead or whatever, you know. Just some
No.
kind of note.
You
Oh, that's
hired
not for
me
you. That's
anyways.
yeah, that's somebody else.
All right,
But
that's good.
yeah, it's just you gotta like you gotta figure out what works for you and
Right.
just make it work.
Well, for those of you listening, this has been an episode of MSP 1337. Thanks and have a great week.